If you have your Bibles with you, we'd ask you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 in the very first verse. Very familiar verses of Scripture, Solomon's final address, so to speak. Ecclesiastes chapter 12, in the very first verse, the Bible says, "Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them, while the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened. And the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird, and all the daughters of the music shall be brought low. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fear shall be in the way, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden, and desire shall fail, because the man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the streets." I'd like to preach this morning, the Lord being my helper, on the thought, the long home is ahead. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy, your watch care, Lord. We praise you for all that. Lord, we thank you for your mercy that's brought us this way once more, this side of eternity, that we might center in on your word once again. Lord God, we pray for the lost that meet within us, that today would be the day that you'd speak life to them, that you would awaken the inner man that's within them, and their soul may be drawn nigh unto you. We pray these things in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now, fairly familiar verses of Scripture. Some say that it's sad. I don't think it's sad. I think it's honest. And what I've found with honesty, some people perceive honesty as sadness, but all it really is the truth. And the truth is this, the home that's ahead of us is much longer than the home we're enjoying here. It's much greater in time. Solomon's first advice was to remember. Now, that's my advice to you this morning, is you remember how good God's been to you. You remember that this morning you was able to get up and move about the house and get yourself ready for the Lord's day. You remember that. You may have had a little trouble with it, and you may have had a little aches and pains till you got going good, but you were able to do that, and you remember. Remember the day the Lord saved your soul, because he didn't have to do that either. He spoke life because he's good. He spoke life because he's wonderful. You remember that. And I'll say more than that. If you can't remember it, you got a big problem this morning, because you're lost and on your way to a devil's hell.
Right.
You remember that. You remember the times the Lord has given you great healing in this physical body. You remember that, because he's accomplished that in so many of our lives, even in this little group here, how God has done and wrought great miracles, and that's because he's good. That's because he's kind. You remember what he... You know what I have found is this. If you remember what the Lord has done for you, you won't have no trouble serving him. You won't have no problems, because you know there's no way whatever that we could give him any glory back, except if we remember how good he's been to us. Remember now thy creators in the days of thy youth. In other words, you don't wait till later on to serve the Lord. You remember while you have the energy and the strength and the youth, you serve him now. You serve him with the strength of a young man. You serve him in the strength of a young lady. Because I will tell you of a surety, Time does make a difference. Time makes a difference. And I'm not real old, but I'm older than I used to be. And I can tell that this body is not as strong. It hurts a little bit at times, and it will interfere with your service. So remembering now while you're young, while the evil days come not. Now, we'll find that Solomon gave us more than one type of evil day. It wasn't just when he was aged. He gives some other ideas about evil days. You know what? We had a good day today. We got up by our own strength. We came down to the house of God. We met openly. Nobody rebuked us for meeting. We had the freedom to approach this place, have a good, nice building to meet in. You remember that. Because it may not always be here. You remember that. Because you know what? Where we're standing and sitting even right now, one day may be an ash pile because God's just been good to us. So you remember that when before the evil days shall come, nor the years draw nigh that when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now you say, well, I'll never ever say that. Yes, you will. If you can't get out of the bed on your own, it's hard to have pleasure in those days. Now, we'll see in a moment, and he refers to it more than once, that Solomon talks about not being able to see well. I'm interpreting from that he probably had a visual disorder that comes with age. Now, in the modern day, we have the blessing of cataract surgery. Years ago, if you got cataracts, you went blind. There was nothing else to happen. Now we live in a different day. Praise be to God. But he must have had some level of problems with his vision. You know, what I have found with my own problems with my vision, it makes you fearful. When you can't see well, it makes you fearful. When the lights is all black in the house and I don't have my glasses on, I can't even see well to our bathroom. And it's literally across from our bed. I can go there by route. And so he says, while you have the ability, you remember your Creator. While the sun or the light of the moon or the stars be not darkened. And again, he still could see well. Remember while you have the ability. Nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, I want you to see, I think the latter part of that, when he's talking about the clouds return. Yeah. You know what? When you get old, it's just hard to look at the bright side of things. The clouds return. Look at this this morning. A little gray. They said it was going to be sunny. There's a little sun back over that way. But you know what? Gloomy weather brings depression. It's proven fact, even physically, that gloomy, discouraging weather is a hardship. And as we grow older, you know what? We're going to experience that more and more. One thing that I've noticed about elderly people is as time progresses, they spend more and more and more time confined to their home. And not necessarily, when I say confined, physically confined, they do it willfully. They stay there purposefully, and I think that's what Solomon was alluding to. And do we criticize them that for that? Certainly not. It's just how it is. And should the Lord not return, then it would be the very same thing with us. So don't be critical of these individuals, because your day is coming sometime along the way. Notice verse 3. In the days when the keepers of the house shall tremble. Now, why do people tremble usually? Because they're afraid. Now, if you can't see and you're depressed, when someone knocks on the door, it evokes fear. It makes you feel threatened. I took care of a woman years ago, and if I told you where the house was, you probably know her. But she was so fearful that at night she'd push her eating table up against the door. And you say, well, how foolish. Well, it seems foolish to you now, but in 20 years it might make sense to you. And so I want you to see that this event of man is that way. Even myself, and I don't know if I was stupid or if you do have more courage as a young man, but when I drive through Carlisle today, I see these bluffs that I used to jump off of and think that it was fun. I was like, you know, you really were stupid as a child. It's a wonder I didn't break a leg. But you know what? I wouldn't do it now. It's not necessarily... You can think I've got a lot smarter, which I would probably doubt. Or I'm fearful. When I get up on that bluff, I probably wouldn't take the plunge. And the reason why is because I know that when I hit the ground, this body ain't going to react like it did 35 years ago. It's not going to be the same response that I had then. And so, as we look at Solomon, yes, we should feel sorry for him, but remember, you'll be there one day too. In the day when the keepers of the house shall tremble, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Now, what that means, listen, young men, that you won't always be able to lift what you once did. You always won't be able to pick it up like you do now. You think about a man that helped us build this building. You know what? Those rafters, those beams were heavy. And we got them up one by one with no equipment. We didn't have one of those things just to set them over. We did it by hand. You know what? I'd be willing to say 10 years later now, or is it 12, we wouldn't be able to do it. You know why? Because we're all 10 years older. And it's not that we want to. So when he's talking about the hunchback, the one that used to be strong, now they're like this. You know what? They've wasted their time. And many times we do the very same thing. We waste our youth on pursuits that really mean nothing. And so we see that there is a time coming for us just like this. The strong men shall bow themselves, and the grinders cease because they are few.
Right.
You need a certain amount of people to do a certain amount of work. Look about you. We're not that young of people. The majority of us are not that young anymore. Or maybe we'll say half and half. Now you half that are young, what are you going to do? Use your time wisely now, because one day it will be just that you won't be able to. Notice what it says: cease because they are few, and those that look out the windows be darkened, and the doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. Now I think we live in a day today, if we're not real careful, where the sound of the grinding is real low. You don't hear much people saying, "Thank you, Jesus." You don't hear much people say, "Praise the Lord." You don't hear much people saying, "Amen." You don't hear that. The sound's got really low. And you know what? A lot of people want to discontent that and say, "Oh, that's what holiness people do. That's Pentecostal." No, no, no. That's not what the Bible teaches. I'll tell you this. What happened is they took it from us. And more than that, we let it go. We didn't say, "Hey, that's a Bible truth. You can't have it. It belongs to the church." We let it go. And so we see then, as the Lord came, as things go along in your life, it's going to be more difficult. The doors will be shut, and I think because of fear. The grinding is going to be low. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. In other words, one little twitter from a bird. You're going, "What was that?" One little cheep, and you're like going, "Man, is somebody trying to get in on me?" That's coming if we're we're not very careful.
That's coming, and we need to use the days before that to speak of the Lord. All the daughters of the music shall be brought low. Now, you think about this, and I am a little biased, I'm sure, but I've always thought that Donna probably could sing better than anybody that I knew. But she told me the other day, and I haven't been able to detect it, but probably she hadn't been able to detect that my preaching is maybe not as forceful as it once was. But she says, Larry, my voice ain't what it used to be. And you know, probably she's right. My preaching ain't what it used to be. And you know why? It's just a function of age. 25 years in the ministry is a long time. And it wears on you. It has an effect. And so I guess the question then only to myself would be, have I used those youthful days as best as I could? Have I done those days? Have I used them to benefit of the Lord Jesus Christ? Verse 5. And when they shall be afraid of that which is high, and fears shall be in the way. Now, if you underline or score your Bible, you do that one because fears can get in the way. You know what? If I'm walking toward you, what is the problem? This pew is in the way. And you know what? When you get a certain of age, some people don't like to be away from home. It's fearful. And you know what? I can kind of understand that. Back at Thanksgiving, when Mom came down, and as it was getting dark, she was ready to go. That comes with age, does it not? And so we as the Lord's people, as we age, we're going to be more fearful than we once were. We're going to be more scared. The second part says, and the almond tree shall flourish, and the grasshopper shall be a burden. Now I want you to see, it's an unusual thing right in the middle there. It says, and the almond tree shall flourish. In other words, and if you study out the almond tree, many times it's speaking of the nation of Israel. So everything's okay on the outside. The almond tree is flourishing. Good things are happening, but we can't participate. That's what that day will be like. The almond tree is doing its thing. It's producing almonds. It's doing what it was designed to do. And we can no longer enjoy that. That's what it's saying. That's what it says. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. A grasshopper. You think a little tiny grasshopper touching you. Oh man, that hurts. Or if you're like me, and this is more like me, a fly will worry me to death. And Donna's worse than me. She goes, did you hear that? And I'm like, no, I didn't. What are you talking about? There's a fly in here with us. You know what? When we married almost 30 years ago, I don't remember flies worrying her that much. But you know what? Time does that. So outside, everything's going all right. And inside, something as insignificant as a fly becomes a hindrance to us. Because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about the street. In other words, we die. Our long home is not here. This is not the part that's going to last very long. This is not the part that is eternal. Now, you think about it, and sometimes I think along these lines, the changes that I have seen just in my lifetime. It's been amazing. The things that we have, the development of the computer age, things we never imagined. Listen, I was back when you still dialed phones like this, and when you did one, and listen, ours was manual. It wasn't one of those little fancy plastic things. It was metal when you push it. It took a little effort to push it on over. Think about how things have changed. I remember when a calculator was a big deal. And things have changed. I remember at Carlisle when we had three stores, three churches, that little trailer park in there had about 9 trailers crammed in it. Every house, houses that are not even there, just full of people. And you know what? You go through there and it's a ghost town. There's nothing left.
Right.
And that's happened in my 40-something years. See, we need to understand and know that, and as amazing as that seems, listen, that's just a snap. That's just a click in the bucket. That's just that much gone. I remember as a young boy there in Carlisle, I knew lots of World War I veterans. Now most of the World War II veterans are gone too. It seems like a long time, but 48 years goes by like that. 70 years goes by like that. And suddenly you find yourself old, and those days that could have been useful are gone. Now it hurts to get up. It hurts to move about. And we've wasted it. So I want you to see that our time, our home down here, is very temporal and very short. I want to read verse 6 with you. Verse 6 says, "Or ever the silver cord of the gray hair the silver cord was, and some people compare it to gray hair, but it was actually a device used in a Jewish ceremony, and when the person died, they kind of broke it and threw it away. Notice, or the golden bowl be broken. That bowl that was their individual bowl, that bowl that belonged to them, they slung it away and broke it as a symbol that's not needed anymore. It's gone. Or the pitcher, or the broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it." Now, I want you to see the end of verse 7 very carefully. The Bible says, "And the spirit shall return to God."
Right.
And if we return, that's what that word says. It indicates that we came from God.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Right.
And so we'll return. Now, with that said, when do you anticipate for that long home? As the Lord gave me this message, I was really thinking about what are the places that I have called home here in my own life. From 1968, when I was born, to 1975, we lived in a little house there at Carlisle. And that was 7 short years. The second place we moved in with my grandparents and took care of them from 75 to 78, and then we moved. One time we lived in a little house after that for 2 weeks, and then we moved again. We lived in that little house about 4 years, and then we moved again. Then I lived out in Cumberland City for about 4 years, and me and Donna married, and that's not even counting that I had this little trailer that was so sad. Until we married, and I lived in that about 3 months, and then we married and we moved into the other trailer, and then we moved to Dresden, and we came back home and we lived in the little brick house, and then we moved out on the land, and I've been out there for 20 years, and that's longer than I've ever lived anywhere in my whole life. But you know what? It's just a snap. It's just gone before you know it. And so we see that all that cumulatively together, 48 short years that I have lived here in this world, I have lived here in this place, and it's been a relatively short amount of time. What about you? Where have you lived? What have you done? Go with me to the book of 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles chapter 24. Second Chronicles
24, and we're going to read just verse 15 for time's sake. The Bible says, "But Jehoiada waxed old and was full of days when he died, 130 years old was he when he died." Now you think about that, and it seems like an incredible, incredible amount of time. When the oldest person I ever met personally and got to engage with some conversation was 110. He was a black man down at Erin, and his parents were freed slaves. That's how long, and it was incredible to hear him tell the stories. And there was a huge stone quarry down at Erin, and he had worked there. And he remembered the railroad going through there, and he could tell you the times. And he remembered what it sounded like. That was in 86, so he was born in 1876. Man, that's incredible. But you know what it really is? It's a snap. It's nothing. It's here and it's gone. And everybody called him Pappy, and at that time, unfortunately, I guess I didn't have enough concern. But the thing about Pappy, you know what? I don't know if he was regenerate. I don't know if he had been born again. I don't know much about his spiritual side. Probably nothing, really. And was his 110 years used or wasted? If he was born in 76, by the time he could remember well, I'm sure it was 1886. And I wondered what he did now with those years. You know what? In those days and in that time, being black, you were very limited to what you could do. In 1886, you couldn't just run out and get a job as a black man. You could not do those things. So I'm sure there were other parts of his life where he was very limited. So I wonder if he took these limitations and did anything for God. Yeah. You know what? You're going to have limitations. Not all of us are preachers. Not all of us can sing. But the real thing, what you do have, the appointed time, are you using it for the things of Christ? What do you do on a routine basis? Look with me in the book of Psalms. Psalms 107. Psalms 107, and we're going to read verse 18. Psalms 107, verse 18, the Bible says, "The soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death." Now, the reality is this. You don't know when you're drawing near that to that gate of death most of the time. Now, everybody is fearful, and I am too, of some kind of devastating terminal disease. But let me say this, at least you know it's coming. Remember what the prophet's message to Hezekiah was? "Set thine house in order, for thou shalt die and not live." You say, "Well, that's pretty cruel." Well, the thing of it is, at least he had a heads up. Yeah. You may not. You may go in a car accident before we can meet together again Wednesday night. You say, "You're just trying to scare me." No, I'm just telling you the truth. We simply do not know. Can you imagine the gates of eternity being right before you, even before we're done with this service this morning? And listen, in that day, don't you dare try to blame the sovereignty of God, because you'll stand guilty as well. The Bible says, in fact, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. We better use the time very carefully that we have while we have breath of life and strength and something that we're able to do. Let us give Him praise and glory and honor that's due His name every day that we possibly can go. Go with me to the Gospel of John. I was afraid that Brother Junior was going to walk on my sermon, but he managed to miss it. John chapter 14, in the very first verse. The Bible says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Now, I ask you this morning, are you prepared? Are you ready to go? That seems a very simplistic question, but it's one that must be asked this morning. Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know who He is? Are you near unto Him? Because all of that is really that all that matters in the day which we live. In the day which we abide, nothing else really matters except that you know that who the Lord Jesus Christ is. Now, I want to refer to John the Baptist just for a moment. And if you remember, you'll understand and know the story too, that John came saying, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world." And as Brother Junior preached this morning, he came unto him and said, and Jesus said, I need to be baptized. And John's statement was this, "I need to be baptized of thee, and comest thou to me?" And he was baptized. See, John shook things up. And the last thing he did that really shook things up, when Herodias began going with a young girl, he said, "That's wrong." See, he wasn't silent about it. Now, if you study the life of John, at this point he was probably about 31. He was 6 months older than the Lord Jesus, right? Mm-hmm. And he began preaching, and his ministry was decreasing, and the Lord Jesus' ministry was 3.5 years, right? So you'd have to come down, he's about 31. And very bravely and very calmly, he looked into Herodias' face, the very ruler of that area, and said, "Listen, you having that girl as your wife is wrong." Now, you think about this, and certainly we'll understand God's sovereignty. Would he have been brave enough to do that 30 years later, when he was in his 60s, when he had the backbone to say, "Listen, Herodias, that oughtn't to be"? And he goes along, and he continues on, and he makes this statement, speaking of the Lord. This is a little bit later, talking to his apostles and passing them along, saying, "He," meaning Christ, "must increase, and I must decrease." You know what is going to happen is you're going to decrease. As age advances and your youth fades away, you're going to decrease. You're going to go further down. You're not going to be as strong as you once were. And so, then lastly, what we find happens to John is that he is beheaded. Now, you know the story, the damsel came in and did her little hellish dance, and no doubt she was provocative, and no doubt she showed herself, and Herod was so impressed, like, "I'll give you anything. What do you want?" And she went and said, "Mama, what I need to ask for?" And she says, "You get John the Baptist's head." He went back. See, John, I don't think, planned to be beheaded. Do you? I don't think that he was like, "You know what? I believe after I'm starting to decrease and I get arrested that the way I'm going to put the icing on the cake is just get myself beheaded." I don't think he planned it that way. Do you? But you know what the facts of the matter is? He did. You know what happens when you're beheaded? You die. You die. About 31 years gone out into eternity. Now, what about you? What's your plans for tomorrow? Now, my plan is this. I'm going to get up about 4:30, and I'm going to get ready for work, and I'm going to try to be at the hospital by 6. And I'm going to teach them students something about the craft of nursing. But you know what? I just may not get there. Now, I don't like to buy much on Sunday, but I back myself in the corner, as they'll say goes, and I've got to get some more paint for this building. Sarah and I plan to go down to Clarksville and get the paint. You know what? We plan to go and get back. But that may just not happen. You're saying you're just trying to scare people. No, I'm presenting you with reality. I'm telling you the honest truth. In fact, the Lord Jesus said in His ministry, take no thought for tomorrow. And you know why He said that? It's because you don't know if tomorrow's coming. You don't know if you'll enjoy another blessed day on the earth or not. So if we're privileged and blessed enough to have another day, how will you use that 24-hour span of time to lift up the name of Jesus? How will you use that short day, that short, finite, or ending amount of time to say, blessed be the name of the Lord? How will you use it? If you get it, how will you use it if the Lord grants it? Go on, maybe the book of Acts. Acts chapter 12. We read of Herod again. Now, if you're not careful what you'll begin to anticipate, if you put the Lord Jesus first, that all things are going to be good and fine. But that's simply not the truth. In fact, what I have found, when people make a determination to serve the Lord and He's going to be first in their life, they have more problems then than when they were out in the world. They have more problems then than they would when they were given just mediocre service. And you know why? We're going to be tested. He wants to know what sort you are. Or I'll put it this way. He wants you to know what sort you are. And the devil hates us, so that's another determiner. Acts 12 in the first verse. Now about that time, and it was the time when the Lord's church was enjoying a great amount of blessings. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. Excuse me. Now we're going to read about the death of James. But I want you to see that it says to vex certain of the church. Now, I personally don't believe that James was the only one, and he may have been the only one that died, but I don't believe he was the only one that was vexed. Remember what it said concerning Lot? He vexed his righteous soul from day to day. Living in that filth, living in the sin that made up Sodom, the filthy cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, it vexed his soul. You know what that does? It brings you down. If somebody comes by your house every day and beats on that door and says, listen, are there any Christians in there? Are there any believers? Listen, we want to haul them out and kill them. You say, well, that's foolish. Well, that's what Paul had planned for Damascus, wasn't it? I don't think it's foolish. And so this vexation was happening to the church, and it was happening to believers that meant business with God. Now, as James was being a defendant to the Almighty, do you think he planned to die? Now, if you'll follow your Bible, and we have Fox's Book of Martyrs, I think is the best one, and there are others out there. We have an accounting of each of their deaths. But let me say this about Fox's Book of Martyrs. It may be accurate, but it is not inspired right. So the only one we can go for sure is this one. We know James died for his faith. We know for sure because inspired Word of God
makes a clear record that James died for the faith, in the faith. He gave himself for the very cause of Christ. Now, I want you to see that this had to be just maybe 2 or 3 years after the death of Christ. It could have been much shorter than that. We don't know for sure because the only thing we can say for sure is somewhere in that interim, Saul of Tarsus was saved. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church, and he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. Now, this James I'm uncertain about. I'm sure more of you could give me a little bit in insight to there. He was one of the inward ones, Peter, James, and John. He had spent time with the Lord closer than anybody else. He was in that one that believed the Lord no matter what else. That got to see the Mount of Transfiguration. Got to see Abraham. Got to see Moses on the mountain, and got to witness unbelievable things. That James was now ready to be put to death. Now, my guess is James probably never planned to be arrested, but he was. And the reason that he was arrested is he stood for the faith. He would not let Judaism be added back. Listen, that mess is taking us over in the United States. You know what? The Jews are a special people, but they ignore the very Son of God.
Amen.
Don't mean we have to bash them, but it's sure enough a privilege to say, I'm a Jew. Nothing privileged about that. And so we see then that the ones that serve the most are the ones that die this way. And the best that I can take it, and you can just say, James, if you know, if you follow your Bible, Andrew was very young. And so probably James was one of the younger ones too. He died. He died in the faith. He may have been less than 30 when he died. Probably he was. We have Peter, James, and John, and the best that we can understand, John was only 15, and James was his brother. And so maybe 20 years old when he began serving the Lord, and probably about 25 when he gave his life for him. So that tells me two things. Number one, if you serve him like you mean it, you're going to have problems. You're going to have difficulty. If you stick to the stuff, you're going to have problems. I was looking at Facebook this morning, and one of them so-called churches had big lights going. It looked like a rock concert, and I know what they look like because I've been to one. I think my mother-in-law liked it for me. You know what? We don't need that. And it will be a day when you stand for that, that people are going to come against you. They're going to call you a bigot. They're going to call you old-fashioned. You know what we need to do? We simply need to stand for the truth. So number one, it's not going to be popular. Don't expect to have any accolades that come with that. And secondly, it's going to cost you something personally. Maybe even to the point of your life. But I suggest you serve him while you're young.
Right. Amen.
Take those days, precious, and do everything that you can. Now those of us that are a little older, do the same thing. Is your body a little sore than it used to be? Sure. Still serving. Still do the same thing. And maybe you're even a little older than me. And you're maybe to that point where you double lock the door. I probably should have done that. My house wouldn't have been robbed,
right?
Well, I don't know that either. But if you get a little skittish at nighttime, serve Him with everything you got. Bolt the door and open it in the morning and serve Him with everything that you have. Because listen, all days are few. We need to serve Him like we mean it. What about you? Are you serving Him? Or are you giving Him everything you got? Or are you about half and half? We need to serve Him. If you've lost, I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. You say, well, how does that happen? The Bible says faith and trust. Do I believe in election? You betcha. Do I believe in predestination? Absolutely. But you know what this is? I don't understand those workings. But I do know, I do understand faith and trust. Do you know Him? As we stand and as we sing, Brother Junior, you come, and Sarah will have a verse or so of some song. This morning, if the Lord's spoken to you, I'd ask that you follow Him.